Well, on Tuesday, we'll celebrate Christmas Day. You know, we look all around and there's lights everywhere. Houses decorated, Christmas trees decorated. And some people say, man, it's like a magical wonderland. Well, maybe it is in the natural. But Christmas doesn't remind me of anything magical. It reminds me of the miraculous and the supernatural. That's what brought Christ into the world. The Holy Spirit was involved in the birth of Jesus. You know, sometimes at Christmas we forget the fact that the whole Godhead, God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, were all involved in what happened on that night. You know, we talk about the spirit of Christmas. And usually we're talking about an atmosphere that is created during that time. We often refer to the spirit of Christmas as the joyful and the good times that we have together. It also can refer to the spirit of giving and goodwill that we show to one another. You know, Lynette was talking earlier about family traditions, and some people have family traditions that they do at Christmas. When I was growing up, the Hagen family, we all got together at one of my cousin's house on Christmas Eve, and they all come together. And now there's only about three of us left. The rest of them done gone to heaven. But we have, Lynette and I, we established with our family and our grandboys, on Christmas Eve after the candlelight service, she fixes a small deal of chicken and dumplings, 18-quart roaster full, when you got five grandsons and their poppy that likes to eat. And then we do that, and then we have our gifts. That's our tradition. It's something that we enjoy together. And while all that is part of Christmas, and you probably, each one of you maybe have traditions that you've set with your family or maybe with your friends, and that's great and that's good, but we need to realize that the Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit that helped with Christ's birth that we celebrate, is still here today to help us have a great Christmas. You know, we need to think about Christmas maybe in a little different way. You know, Stuart Briscoe, he's a Christian author and pastor. You know, as I speak today, I'm talking about the real spirit of Christmas. He had penned these words. The spirit of Christmas needs to be superseded by the spirit of Christ. The spirit of Christmas is annual. The spirit of Christ is eternal. The spirit of Christmas is sentimental. The spirit of Christ is supernatural. The spirit of Christmas is a human product. The spirit of Christ is a divine person. That makes all the difference in the world. So the spirit of God is what brought forth that first Christmas. It was far more than just an atmosphere that lasted for a few hours. That same Holy Spirit that brought Christ to the earth is the same Holy Spirit that's present with us today. And he has been with us, God's people, since Jesus told his disciples, "It is important that I go away so that the Comforter can come, the Paraclete, the Helper, the Standby, the Intercessor." So during this Christmas season, let us pay attention to the spirit of Christmas, which is Christ, but also the Holy Spirit. We need to listen when he speaks. We need to follow his leading as he leads. Listening to the Holy Spirit will help you to have a better Christmas. He'll help you find everything you need. He'll help you to accomplish all you need to do. I know that many of you ladies, like my wife, I've got so much to do in the next 48 hours. But look to the Holy Spirit and he'll help you. See, he is our helper. That's what it says in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He's there to help us in everything, not just spiritual things, in everything. Help us in our life. He's here to help us to have the best possible Christmas ever. So I want to take a look at the work of the Holy Spirit in the birth of Christ. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. When they transgressed against God, God spoke forth the promise of the Messiah in Genesis 3:15 when he said, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." The Amplified put it this way, "And I will put enmity, open hostility between you and the woman, and between your seed, offspring, and her seed. He shall fatally bruise your head, and you shall only bruise his heel." As we go into the Word of God, the psalmist in the Psalms, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, spoke of the coming Messiah many years before Christ came. These words were spoken. As time grew closer for the coming of Christ to be born, he began to give more detail in the Word of God. See, as you study, you find this out. God even revealed the location of his birth in Micah 5:2. "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler of Israel, whose going forth from of old, from everlasting." He gave the details of Christ's birth in Isaiah 7:14, way before he was ever born. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." He even put the time frame of when the birth would be in Daniel 9:25. "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built and the wall, and even in troublesome times. Now, these are scriptures that most people don't go look at. They just zero in on his birth. But if you think about this and look at this, there is some incredible planning that went into the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. God had created his man, Adam, to walk and talk with him. The enemy came into the garden and stole him away. And at that moment, God, and we read it here, just a few of the scriptures, God began to make a plan where man once again could be united with him. You know, if God can do that, he can surely take care of you. Amen. You see, the Holy Spirit moved supernaturally in the birth of Jesus. Luke 1:26-28. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord and the Lord God will give him his throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? I do not know a man." And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed. Here we see the Holy Spirit of God, this is powerful. The angel came to give her the word. And there she was, moved upon by the supernatural power of God, the Holy Spirit. That's beyond our level of comprehension. But nevertheless, it's true. Because the word of God said, what is impossible with man is possible with God. This actually, what we just read, goes beyond our human reasoning. But Christ came. And then we see the Holy Spirit involved in outmaneuvering the works of the enemy through men to destroy the Christ child. We see from reading from the Old Testament and the prophets that he organized the events so that Jesus came at the right time. In fact, there's a close in scripture says that he came at the right time. The Holy Spirit moved supernaturally to protect Jesus and his family. See, we need to believe that the Holy Spirit will do the same thing for us. If God is God and he doesn't change, then the Holy Spirit doesn't change. The Spirit of God will move miraculously for you to provide for you in your spiritual area, in your physical area, in your material area of your life. God will supernaturally help you. If you'll believe him, he'll help you outmaneuver all of those that are coming against you. The Christmas story should give us real courage, because it shows us the mighty supernatural power of God. And that same Holy Spirit is still available for us today. And that same Holy Spirit will exercise supernatural events in our lives if we'll just believe Him. See, if God moves supernaturally in historical times, He can move supernaturally today. If God moves supernaturally on people during Bible days, then He can move supernaturally on us today. If God moves supernaturally in one place, He can move supernaturally where we live. See, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit being involved in the birth of Christ. Thank God for the birth of Christ, because without it, we wouldn't be redeemed. But everybody gets their eyes on Jesus Christ, and yet the Holy Spirit had a lot to do with it too. And we need to recognize the Spirit, because we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now it says in Luke 1:35, and as Mary spoke to the angel, the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." The Good News Bible says, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and God's power will rest upon you. That was a supernatural moment in history. First, an angel appears to her and brings her the message. Secondly, the Holy Spirit came and overshadowed her, and she conceived a child. And of course, as I said before, this is far beyond anything that could happen in the natural. This is the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. Say it with me. The Holy Spirit,
the Holy Spirit.
The supernatural work,
the supernatural work
of the Holy Spirit. That overshadowed Mary is here with me to cause the same blessings from God, not a child, but the blessings. You see, several things that Mary did. She heard the word. She believed the word. She didn't have a doubt about it. Although she didn't understand it, she said in Luke 1:38, "Let it be to me according to your word." Mary believed the word. Mary allowed the word of God to be in her. It would have never happened if she had not believed the word and said, "Let it be to me according to your word." You see, we need to say the same thing about the word of God. We need to believe the word of God. She heard the word, what God was saying to her. And we know the scripture, "So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word," Romans 10:17. She believed the word. We all know Mark 11:24, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask in prayer, believe when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." And then she spoke word in agreement with what God had said. We know Mark 11:23 around here. "For surely I say, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed, be thou cast in the sea,' does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things that he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says." When we do that, we open the door for the Holy Spirit to come in and move supernaturally in our lives. When we say, according to the word of God, let it be done to me. That opens the door for everything from salvation to healing to prosperity to every blessing that comes from God. When you begin to do that, you begin to see and have a life-changing experience. The Holy Spirit is just as powerful today as He was yesterday. The Holy Spirit is here with us to move in our lives as He moved in the life of Mary. Not for the same reasons, but for the reasons that the Word of God says. You will have life and have it more abundantly. The Holy Spirit will come and He'll be your helper, your standby, your comforter. In the hour of need, in sorrow or whatever, He becomes your comforter. When you don't know what to do, He becomes your helper and your guide. When you need someone to plead your case, He becomes your intercessor. You see, we need to realize that the Holy Spirit has been involved and a part of Christmas since the beginning. You know, it seems that we tend to forget so easily some of the most important things from God because we zero in on certain aspects in the Word of God, and that's nothing new. We all do that. But at the time that we celebrate the coming of our Redeemer, our Messiah, Jesus Christ, we zero in on His birth. And we have to. That's the beginning. But we can't stay there. We have to move from there to the cross. And we move from the cross to the tomb. And we move from the tomb to when He ascended and sat on high. And He said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you, talking about us. And He will lead you and He will guide you. That same Holy Spirit has been involved with God since the beginning. When God said, let us make man in our own image, the Holy Spirit was there. The Holy Spirit was the one that anointed the prophets of old. The Holy Spirit is the one that was involved in bringing Jesus to the world. And the Holy Spirit is involved in living in our lives so that we can have all of the blessings of God that He says belongs to us. We simply have to believe the Word, confess Jesus as our Savior, and then live in line with the Word of God. But that same Holy Spirit is not, it's not going to end there. That same Holy Spirit is going to be involved when Christ comes again. But this time when He comes, He's not going to come as a babe in Bethlehem. He's going to come back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Holy Spirit is involved in it all. And I know I took a different twist today, but I wanted us to get to the idea that the Holy Spirit is the power of God from the beginning to the end. And we're not to the end yet. As I read that scripture there, we are there in that week between the 69th and the 70th week of Daniel's vision. That's what it's all talking about. It all goes back to that. I don't have time to go into an eschatology scripture here now. But you see, it said that the Messiah would come and there would be this period of time where he is here with us, and then that would end, and the last portion of the week would begin. That's what that scripture meant. So, and Paul said it in his writings. He said, this is going to be the way it is with the moving of the Holy Spirit until he's taken out. What did that mean? When Jesus comes in what we call the rapture, or to catch us away, as we read there, that is when the Holy Spirit he goes. And then that last portion of that weeks will come into existence. And at the end of that is when we all come back to live with Christ here in the millennial reign. It's what I'm trying to show you is that the Holy Spirit was there in the beginning, all through the Old Testament, with the birth of Christ. With him, it said how God anointed Jesus Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power and went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Right? During his earthly ministry, he was there with him during his death, burial, and resurrection. And he ascended and he sat down, the Bible says, at the right hand of the Father. And he said that I'm going to send you that Holy Spirit that was there that caused me to be born, that Holy Spirit that has been with me and the Father since the beginning will now come and be with you. And that same supernatural power will be there for you if you will believe it and receive it. And you can walk in the blessings of God. So, let us expect no less in our everyday lives than to believe and expect that that same Holy Spirit that's been the power of God working for God since the beginning in the Garden of Eden is here with us today to bring us every blessing of God. And will be with us as long as we believe and confess the word we will receive. So, today, let me say to you, we're living in a good time. Some people say, oh, it would have been good to live in that day. I like the day I'm living in. I still have the same power that they had back there then. And I have a whole lot more modern conveniences than they had back there then. So we're living in a good day. Say it with me. We're living in a good day. We're living in the day that the Lord hath made. And I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Because the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit of God, that powerful Holy Spirit is with me today, working in my life, that I might have all the blessings that God says I can have. Heavenly Father, I've spoken to these people for a very few moments today to remind them that the Holy Spirit, the power of God, is with them. And if they will recognize him and believe in the Word of God, that powerful Holy Spirit will supernaturally move in their lives and help them to have every blessing that you said belongs to them. I thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I never like to have a message that I speak that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Or there are many people that accept Him, but then through circumstances and life, they tend to drift away and they need to come and rededicate their life. If you're here today and you never accepted Christ as your Savior, or you're here today and you need to rededicate your life, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. If that's you, let me see your hand right now. Anywhere in this room, there, I see a hand back there. Thank you. Are there any other hands? Are there any other hands upstairs, downstairs? You need Christ. You need to rededicate your life. God is moving on you right now. Listen to the Holy Spirit and He'll help you and He'll change you. Thank you, Jesus. Everyone stand, please. I think I saw at least two hands, maybe three. There's more of you. I'm going to go right down front. I'm going to ask you if you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand. I'm going to ask you just to step out in the aisle and come down here. I want to shake hands with you, and I want to pray for you like I said I would. So come on right now. I know that there is at least three hands raised, so come on. So come on right now. Come on, right here. Come on.
Jesus Christ,
oh, right here. Come right here. God bless you. God bless you. Just stand here a minute. Come on. Anybody else want to come? Come now. This is your time to change your life forever. It'll never be the same again after today. Come on. I'm going to wait just a moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray with you guys right here. Then we'll ask you to go to a special place of prayer where you can be prayed with personally and in depth, given three little books, letter from me. Where you're going is going to be a prayer room. They call it this morning, but every Sunday morning at 9:30, it becomes a classroom called Turning Point. And they said, what in the world is that? Well, it's to get your life turned on to God or back on to God. A few classes. I'd like to see you there. Heavenly Father, reach your hands out and pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for each of these ones that have come. I thank you that every spiritual need in their life will be met today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, you see Greg right there? He's going to lead you to that place of prayer where you can be prayed with individually in depth, given those books. Give them a hand as they go. Praise God. Thank God for them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I trust you received something from what I had to say this morning. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Remember all of the announcements tonight at 6 o'clock right here. Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Okay. Connection team, go find our first time guests and take them to get that special gift that we have prepared for them. Okay? Staff, you can move to the door so we can shake hands with the people as they go out. Praise the Lord. Today, we had on rhema.tv, we had 1,763 with us today. And we didn't get a count on the Facebook Live. They just got a question mark there. But hallelujah. Praise God. So there's a whole lot more people with us than you think. Amen. Thank all of you on the e-church for being here, being with us. We just here every Sunday at 10, Sunday evening at 6, every Wednesday at 7 with Our Power. You be there with us because you're the e-church. Hey, don't forget Monday night. 5 o'clock, Carol's Candlelight and Communion. Praise the Lord. If you're not going to be here for that. Let me say Merry Christmas to you. God bless you. They're going to sing a chorus. Allow me to get to the door so I can shake hands with the people. The staff's at the doors to shake hands with you. Have a great vacation if you're traveling. Lord, traveling mercies go with them. Bless their going out and their coming in according to the 101st Psalm. In Jesus' name, we'll see you tonight at 6 and tomorrow night at 5. Amen. God bless. They're going to sing a chorus. I'm going to barrel down that aisle over there, so don't get in my way.